Welcome to the Home Church Podcast, where we bring you relevant teaching, faith conversations, and much, much more. We want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you and builds your faith.
So here we go, The Madness of Marriage. What a strange title for this episode, Louise.
It is a little bit, but I think that's because marriage can seem a little bit crazy, can't it?
It seems a little bit crazy at times. There'll be lots of people listening which will testify to that. And this is the next episode in our series, Family Matters. And we get so much great feedback through this series, aren't we?
We really are. I think it's helping people, which was always the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Madness of Marriage. Well, Louise, just to remind you, we got married on the 21st of June, 1997. Can you remember that day?
I can remember it really clearly.
Can you remember how handsome I was looking?
Definitely. But I also remember it rained a little bit on the morning, which I was really upset about. But then the photographer told me that it was better because then it means that nobody's squinting at the camera on the photographs. So it was a little bit overcast.
I do remember that my going away suit after all of the, the evening party thing we had. It was a very white, almost Benny Hinn type suit, wasn't it?
It was not. It was a stone kind of colour, which were very fashionable at the time.
It just reminds me of Benny Hinn. Anyway, for those that know
anyway.
That. Anyway. No. But you made me wait 7 years before you said I do, didn't you?
I did, yes. We were very young when we got together, though. We were only 17.
So unkind.
So I wanted to wait.
Made me wait forever. But I have to say, you were 100% worth the wait. And I'm thankful that this year we are celebrating, how many years?
23 years.
23, and I'll call them happy.
Yes.
23 years.
Yeah, definitely.
Sadly, I've been doing some research, and sadly, marriage is under pressure. I was going to say attack, but it's under pressure from society, and the world we live in doesn't value marriage like I guess we do, like the Bible does. In the UK, for instance, they reckon that 42% of marriages end in divorce, whilst in the US it's closer to 50. That's not great, is it?
So sad, really sad, I think.
And what about this? 41% of first marriages end in divorce.
Wow, man, that's high. That's a scary statistic, isn't it?
Yeah. A little bit of good news is that in 2018, the divorce rate dropped to nearly 91,000 in England and Wales compared to previous year, 2017, where it was over 101,000. So that's a little bit of good news, I guess.
I guess it is. But I think the danger is that people aren't getting married as much, are they, these
days? Well,
they're
not. No, they're not.
So we've definitely got some work to do.
The value is just not there on marriage anymore, is it?
That's right, yeah. I think it's sadly not.
How about this last statistic? Because I am 46, you're 47, for those that were wondering and guessing. I know you're shocked and thinking, wow, she can't be 47. That is true, she's 47.
Just.
47 this year. Well, how about this? The most common age bracket for divorce is actually 45 for 49 because the pressure gets too high and boredom kicks in. So I'm going to do all I can in the next few years, Louise, to make sure that no boredom kicks in at all. Any advice you want to give me? Any tips?
Bring back the romance, I'd say.
What do you mean, bring back the romance? The romance has always been there. You've just become very dull to it.
Flowers.
Flowers. Right. I'm going to get you some flowers today. I'm going into the garden to see if there's any daisies
great.
In the garden.
Great. So and thoughtful.
The climbing rose bushes from the neighbour's garden is overhanging out, so I think that gives me the right to clip a few roses for you. So leave it to me.
No expense spared.
Hey, listen, God's mind has not changed on marriage. The marriage relationship, we know from Genesis 2:24, was the very first human union that God established, right? That it says this, that is why man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh.
Right.
So regardless of the challenges or what the world says about marriage, we are saying today that we still value marriage.
We really do. And I think God still values marriage. And that's the thing to remember, that even though society has changed, God has not changed. God hasn't changed his mind.
No, he hasn't.
And so he still fully believes in marriage and still gives us a lot of wisdom of how we can do marriage well.
Absolutely. And there's a little phrase that we grew up hearing, wasn't there? When someone says there's method in the madness.
Right.
It refers to the fact that there's purpose in when something's doing something which is seemingly crazy. And some of my friends growing up would think that marriage is mad. And people, when we people talk about marriage, they think, why would you get married? That's crazy.
Yeah, but, and there's a lot of, I think as well, don't you think that there's a lot of kind of derogatory, it can often be seen as a big joke.
A big joke, yeah.
You know, they call, you know, in comedians talk about the wife being the ball and chain, and it's seen as
marriage being a life sentence.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't think that helps, but it's up to us to change the culture, I think.
I think so. God values marriage. And we, you know, look, let's talk from our experience. We have seen it as a fruitful time. We're still happy. We've had our issues, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on. But overall, marriage has been wonderful for us.
Yeah.
I know for many people listening, especially in the home church family, we know you personally, we know that marriage hasn't been a great experience for you. But listen, I think every time we go through something that doesn't work, it sets us up and equips us with wisdom for the future. So let's not see failures as final, but let's see failures as something we can learn from, especially when it comes to marriage.
Right.
But there's a few things, and this is the method in God's madness, Louise, I want us to get into. I want your comment on these thoughts, that the method in God's madness is that he wants to teach us a few things. And that's what I want to talk to everyone about in this podcast. And the first thing is that marriage teaches us to serve one another.
Yeah, so good. Right. And I think the problem with this is that, well, I know for us personally, just speaking from our experience, that I don't think either of us went into our marriage with that thought. That I didn't go in with, I'm here to serve you. And I don't think you went in with the same thought either.
I can tell you what thought I had. I thought, wow, she looks amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on her. And, you know, TMI. Just talking, you know, I was, you know, thinking, wow, I love you and I lust you. Let's be real here. And I was thinking you'd make a good wife and you'd make a good mother. You love the Lord. But never was I thinking, oh, I can't wait.
How can I say?
I've got a whole list, Louise. I'd never said to you, can I just read you the list of ways I want to serve you when we're married, did I?
You didn't. And I didn't either. And I think often, probably the challenges that we had in, I would say, the first 10 years of our marriage were due to the fact that we didn't do that. That we were looking out for our own interests. We don't do that consciously, but we do it subconsciously.
That's
we're very
right.
much thinking about our own needs, our own wants, our own preferences. And we put those first. And if we feel we're not getting that, well, then that's when things start to crumble,
yes.
I think.
And this is what marriage does. It teaches you that if you don't serve one another, it's not going to work.
Right.
Ephesians 5:21, let's read from there. One of the big verses on marriage.
Yes.
It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, there you go. Submit to one another. That speaks of servanthood, doesn't it?
It does.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives, you should submit to your husbands in everything. And that sounds like the wives are getting a bit of a raw deal there until you read verse 25, right?
Yes. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body, and he who loves his wife loves himself. And I think...
just seems impossible. It seems impossible for me to comprehend how I could love you like Christ loves the church.
It does. And I think we can never do that perfectly because we're not perfect human beings. We're flawed. But I think if that's always our goal, even if we fall short, we're still going to do a really good job. And
yes.
I think the key thing is as well is that right at the top of these verses, in verse 21, it says submit to one another.
Yes.
So although we often hinge everything on wives, submit to your husbands,
yes.
and that's not fair, it actually says submit to one another.
Exactly.
And I think that's another way of saying serve
each other. So husbands
are
to submit
other.
To their wives too.
Yeah, serve each other. And if we go into the marriage and we navigate our marriage with that in mind, how can I serve you today? How can I serve you? And we think about that. Maybe we even ask that question and say, how can I serve you today? There's a thought.
Yeah.
There's a thought that it's healthy. And then wives, I have no problem submitting to you if you're loving me the way Christ loved the church. Because
it's easy.
And so it's not about anybody lording anything over anyone. It's about love and care. yes. for each other.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I love that. Submit to one another. People don't read that. Submit to one another.
Right.
I love what Parker Pop says, this little quote I've put in the notes, Louise, says that marriage used to be a public institution for the common good. Now, it's a private arrangement for the satisfaction of the individuals. Marriage used to be about us, but now it's about me. That is so true, isn't it?
That's right. And I sadly hear a lot of times, you know, a lot of times when marriages break down, the words that you hear out of that is just, you know, he's not fulfilling my needs. She's not fulfilling my needs.
Yes.
He
doesn't understand me.
Yeah. He doesn't make me happy anymore.
Yes.
And let me just say this at this point, something I feel very strongly, your spouse is not there to make you happy. You have to be responsible for that. And if we're Christians, I believe that we get joy and happiness from our relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And the problem is that when we go into a marriage looking for that whole, looking for the other person to complete us and to make us happy. No, we have the responsibility to be fulfilled in Christ and to come into the marriage as a whole person. I don't believe in that two halves make a whole.
No, they don't.
The Bible says two become one. He didn't say two halves become make a whole.
Right.
So come into the marriage as a whole person and join with the other person.
And isn't that where a lot of the problems stem from?
I think it really does.
We come into marriage as broken people, thinking that the other person is going to make us
make
complete.
Everything okay. That's right. Yeah. And it's not fair on me to say to you, you need to make me happy.
Yeah.
That's not, I can't put that on you.
Tim Keller in the book, along with his wife, Kathy Keller, in the book Meaning of Marriage, says that we are looking for someone who accepts us as we are and fulfills our desires. And this creates an unrealistic set of expectations that frustrates both the searchers and the searched for.
Absolutely, because it's unrealistic and it's actually impossible. Yeah. We can't make someone happy. Yeah. We can't. We have to do is we have to serve each other, and through that we get the fulfillment.
Yeah, and what we're learning now, after how many years of marriage?
Almost 23.
What we are finally getting around to learning, and by the way, if you're just married in the first year and you get this in the first year, wow, you are off to a great start, because it took us a long time to get this message in through our thick skulls. Well, we are learning that marriage is about serving one another, and that's what God is teaching us through marriage. The second thing that God is teaching us through marriage is to love one another.
Right, yes.
You'd think loving your husband or wife would be easy, but sometimes I make it really difficult for you to love me, I think, Louise. Is that right? I mean, to love you is easy because you're pretty much perfect, but I have a few flaws here and there.
Just one or two. Just one or two. That's right.
And of course, the thing is, we never really know each other until we spend some time with each other, years.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing that, you know, one of the benefits we had of having a long courtship was that we did know each other really well by the time we got married. And I think we'd ironed out some of our, you know, family culture differences and things like that when we came into the marriage. But the fact of the matter is that we change so much, don't we, over
the
years. And I know that I'm not the same person that I was 23 years ago.
Yes.
I'm very, very different. And so we have to constantly evolve with that, with our marriage. And loving each other is not, we have those romantic feelings. And maybe the wedding day, you know, we feel those amazing feelings, the euphoric feelings of love. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the marriage, those feelings might come and go.
And we're constantly changing.
Yeah.
Who is it? Someone said that every 10 years in marriage is like marrying a different person because we're changing.
Yes. And so the thing that, you know, sometimes that might be, hopefully that's a positive thing, but sometimes it's challenging as well. And so love becomes a choice. It has
it
to
does.
Become a choice, because feelings come and go, but our choices, we made a choice to commit to this person, and we have to make that choice every single day sometimes and say, I choose you again, and I choose to love you again, whether I feel like it or not.
Yeah, here's an idea. What if we stop wasting time fighting against each other, but started to fight with each other? And what we found in our marriage is to stop fighting against each other, but find something, a common cause we can fight for.
Right.
We fight. Our children are a common cause, aren't they?
Yes, they
and
are.
And unity in the marriage for the sake of our children, we fight for that.
That's right. And I think that somebody in our church, didn't they? Garth, he was saying to us when we were chatting about
Garth
this.
Garth Lawrence,
he was saying, fight for peace in your marriage.
Oh, I love
Don't
that.
Just fight to be right, but fight for
fight
peace. And I think that is such gold, such gold.
Yes.
If we're fighting for peace, it gives a completely different goal and perspective.
And you know, I'd never heard anyone say that before.
No, I
and
haven't.
When Garth said that, I thought, wow.
It was a revelation.
Let's fight for peace.
It really was.
Ruth Bell said, a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. Isn't that true?
That's so true.
I have to be honest, I don't find it easy to forgive. Some people do, but I've learned that unless there's forgiveness, there can't... Well, first of all, there has to be repentance. And
yes.
With anything, you know, there's lots of turmoil in the world right now. I'm looking at it thinking there needs to be repentance for sin before there can be forgiveness.
Yes.
And if there's no repentance, no forgiveness, then there can't be reconciliation.
That's
and
right.
And as we counsel people in marriage, I feel so ill-equipped and unqualified and sometimes very young to be counseling people in marriage. But the principles don't change whatever age you are.
Right.
There needs to be repentance. Are we prepared to repent? Then there's room for forgiveness. Are we prepared to forgive? And only then can there be reconciliation.
Yeah, and we move forward. And the interesting thing about that quote is that Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of the amazing evangelist Billy Graham, and you think, oh, wow, if she was married to Billy Graham, how could they have had any issues in the marriage? But, you know, I've read a little bit and they did. But I love that, the fact that she says that they were two good forgivers and that's what they had to do. And I don't think that's changed for anybody.
He was highly driven, a visionary with the call of God in his life.
He was away
a lot, relentless. I bet they had issues. Hey, James 1:19-20 is worth mentioning. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be, this is great marriage advice, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
So
Amen.
The madness of marriage is that God, there is madness. There's method in God's madness, because he's trying to teach us to love one another. He's trying to teach us through marriage to serve one another. And perhaps the most important thing, Louise, and we see this in Ephesians, that is that marriage teaches us how much God loves us.
It does. Yeah.
Again, reading from Tim Keller, read that quote from Tim,
yes.
Tim Keller, I love.
I love this. Yeah, the reason that marriage is so painful and yet wonderful is because it's a reflection of the gospel, which is painful and wonderful at once. The gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. This is the only kind of relationship that will really transform us.
Absolutely. Marriage is much more than just a good idea. It's not just a thing that you do to get some, I don't know, some benefits or tie someone down, but it's a God idea in which he teaches us how much he really loves us and the lengths he went to show his love for us.
And I think it's important to remember that when we understand the love of God and we can truly receive the love of God, it will help us in our marriage.
Yes.
When Jesus and God are at the center of our marriage, it makes it so much easier to move forward.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, you understand why marriage isn't easy. You know, we live
it's
through
not.
It. We're living in the real... We're speaking about this from experience. This is something we know about. But imagine how difficult we make it for God to love us in our relationship.
Gosh.
And whatever your experience or perception of marriage is in the past, I hope that it's taken a little bit of time to look at the scripture and listen to this podcast to see what God is trying to teach us through marriage, that we can build a much positive view of marriage for our future. So if you're single, make sure you go into marriage with a very little understanding of what God is trying to teach you through that. If you're married right now, well, have a fresh look. And if you've been through the marriage union and it hasn't worked, can I say, don't blame the marriage. Take some responsibility. And I believe that God still has a great future.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
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 All right, Louise, pray for every single married couple listening to this podcast and every person, like I said, who's single, preparing for marriage. In fact, just include everybody, because, you know, the Bible actually says you don't need to get married.
That's
we should
right.
just put that little footnote in there. I think the Apostle Paul says it's quite good to be single. So if you want to be single for the rest of your life and never be married, that's a blessing for you. So, yeah, pray for everyone.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you are the author of marriage, that it was your idea.
Yes.
And so, God, we thank you that you are interested in our marriages and you want to bless our marriages and you want them to be strong. So, Father, for everybody who's listening right now, we pray that you will give us wisdom in how to navigate our marriage well, that we will constantly be reminding ourselves that we need to serve each other, that you were the great example for that, Jesus, in laying your life down for the church, that we need to follow your example, love each other and serve each other through our marriage. I pray strength to people. I pray, God, that if anybody needs help, that they will reach out for help, Lord. We pray for anybody single who's believing for their husband or their wife, God, that you'll give them grace. You'll, Lord, help them to navigate that journey with wisdom also. We pray a blessing over everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you. And, you know, if you're part of our Home Church family and you've got questions about this topic, or you're going through a difficult time, listen, don't stick your head in the sand. Don't try and solve it alone. Reach out to one of the team, one of the pastors. We're always here to help you. All right. Have a great week. God bless.